By now, you've probably heard that this Saturday marks the 40th anniversary of the day the Beatles landed in the United States. But back then, you couldn't avoid it. The Beatles were all over American radio after a teenager in Washington, D.C. wrote DJ Carol James and asked him to play I Wanna Hold Your Hand. Almost overnight, the nation's top 40 radio stations were at war with each other to become their town's top Beatles station. Paul Ingalls reports on the frenzy in New York City.
Number one in the nation, the Scott Muni Show.
It was just after the holidays, and New Jersey teenager Al Sussman was back to his regular Friday evening routine of listening to WABC's Top 7 Countdown.
Scott Muni had made a reference to a Beatles fan club.
If you want to join the Beatles fan club, mail to Scott Muni, WABC, New York 23.
I had no idea what a Beatles fan club was. And he also made a reference to the fact that there was a new number one song. So as he was counting down, I'm hearing Surfin' Bird by the Trashmen, There I've Said It Again by Bobby Vinton, Louie Louie by the Kingsmen, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me what the number one song was. This record comes on that I had absolutely never heard before.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you something.
This sounded like something from another planet, and I have to admit my first reaction was negative.
I wanna hold your hand.
Leslie Samuels Healy grew up in New York City. She was 14 in 1964.
There were three main AM stations that really, really jumped the Beatles bandwagon, and each one was trying to outdo each other. You had ABC and Cousin Brucey, and then you had WMCA, another AM station, with the WMCA good guys. And you had Wins 1010 with Murray the K-Baby.
Ooh, there, let me explain to you, baby. We got a little bit of music set up for you now to listen to.
WINS nighttime disc jockey Murray the K. Kaufman was actually on vacation the week before the Beatles' scheduled New York arrival. Station management called him back in time for him to join rivals Cousin Brucey and Scott Muni at Kennedy Airport February 7th, along with thousands of kids who had skipped school after hearing on their radios about the Beatles' arrival. Al Sussman was not at Kennedy Airport that day, but his early skepticism about the Beatles had quickly melted away. Years later, he even wrote for Beatle fan magazines. He says at the Beatles' airport press conference, Murray the K wriggled his way to the front of the pack of reporters and got the band's attention.
Murray just pretty much latched himself onto the Beatles, and by that evening, he was basically doing his show by telephone from their suite at the Plaza Hotel.
Back in his studio the next night, Kaufman was on the phone with George Harrison, who was sick in bed at the hotel with a sore throat.
Listen, Murray, you got your Beatles sweatshirt.
Yeah, I got my Beatles sweatshirt.
Yeah, well, get rid of that cuckoo one you had on last night.
You mean the submarine race watches?
That's it.
Compared to the staid BBC radio they were used to back home, the energy of American radio fascinated the Beatles, according to Bruce Spicer, who's just written a book, The Beatles Are Coming, The Birth of Beatlemania in America.
One of the gifts that they were given upon arrival where each of them were given a transistor radio from representatives of Pepsi-Cola.
Spicer says the Beatles carried the radios everywhere, and if station disc jockeys phoned or dropped by, the boys were eager to talk.
Anytime the Beatles went anywhere, disc jockeys were putting microphones in front of them. Anything they could do to get the Beatles to mention the call letters of the station, they were doing.
I'm John, I'm Paul, I'm George, here we go. We love WABC!
Beatles manager Brian Epstein soon put a stop to that. The boys were giving the stations free promotion the band should have been charging for. The Beatles did get a cut from the onslaught of products, wigs, buttons, sweatshirts, and caps that flooded the American market.
Hi, everybody. This is Cousin Brucey with something so exciting. You know what I have in my hand right now? I have a book. It's called The Beatles Book. Now listen very carefully.
We'll take the fourth call from Queens now. You name this record, you'll win it, courtesy Capitol Records, plus your own harmonica, the kind the Beatles played.
New York's other stations were determined to catch up after Murray the K got the jump on them on the Beatles' first visit. When the band returned later that year, and again in 1965, WABC would not be outdone. The station booked a suite of hotel rooms below the Beatles' floor, put in broadcast lines, and established a Beatles command center. Cousin Brucey Morrow got to call the band's 1965 arrival.
Across the street from the Warwick Hotel, there were 5,000 or 6,000 kids And coming up the block, they saw a Bentley. And I'm looking down, and I'm seeing literally this ocean of young people running across the street. Nothing stopping. It looked like a tidal wave.
The police line is broken again. They are ruining this Rolls Royce. There must be 100 policemen around the Rolls Royce. We do not think this is the Beatles right now.
That Bentley did not have the Beatles in it.
When the Beatles did arrive, thousands of teens in the street remained, gazing up at the hotel windows, hoping for a glimpse of their heroes, and all listening to WABC on their transistor radios. This put Cousin Brucie and his cohorts in a heady position of power over a mob.
Every one of them are armed with these transistor radios, right? So we'd go over to the window and by the Venetian blinds, and we'd say, Ringo's coming to the window, watch the Venetian blinds. I'd hit the Venetian blinds, and outside you hear, five or 6,000 kids screaming.
The mutual love fest between the Beatles and Top 40 radio lasted another 2 or 3 years as stations scrambled to be the first to air each new Beatles single and breathlessly reported the band's every move whenever they toured the States.
We helped the Beatles become the Beatles in the United States, but the Beatles, more importantly, helped us in radio reestablish ourselves and give us the excitement again. And it rekindled the spirit of radio not only in New York City, but in all the other major markets all over the country.
The excitement on AM radio waned a bit when the Beatles quit touring and started experimenting in the studio with music that was more suited to the emerging FM format. Murray the K, Scott Muni, and eventually Bruce Morrow all made the move to FM too. And this past fall, in a throwback to the mid-60s, Scott Muni scooped the station his old partner Cousin Brucie now works for, by being the first disc jockey in the city to air the Beatles' remixed Let It Be Naked CD. For NPR News, I'm Paul Ingalls.
JoJo was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it couldn't last.
Videos of the Beatles' arrival and their early U.S. performances are at npr.org. Tomorrow, the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan television program. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.